Go ahead and have a seat. Wow, welcome here. Who can tell me what today is? Sunday, but specifically Palm Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate where Jesus came into Jerusalem. And just like we sang in that song, people waved the palm branches and they said, Hosanna. Does anyone know what Hosanna means? Anyone know? Save us. Yeah, or save us. Or please save us. Help save us. Help save us. And they're looking to Jesus as their Savior. And because we know that Good Friday is coming. And that's the day that he goes to the cross. And then Sunday he raises from the dead. So this is Palm Sunday. It's kind of early this year, isn't it? Like Easter kind of sprung up on us. Usually it's later than in April. And it's kind of right around our spring break, which usually doesn't happen. But here we are, the start of spring break and Palm Sunday. And next Sunday is Easter Sunday. But this Sunday, the start of spring break, is usually a Sunday where we do something a little bit different. We call it a Selah Sunday. We pause, we do something different from our normal sermon series. And what we're doing today is something called a one-word service. And we typically do about three of these a year. And what we do is this is an opportunity for us to hear stories about what God is doing in individual lives. And we have a number of people here today that are going to share. And I know that you are going to be encouraged and blessed and even challenged today from what you're going to hear. So this is going to be a different Sunday. So usually I just stand here and do a bit of a welcome, but I'm also going to do some announcements now. So I'm going to just hold on right now. I got to give some announcements, and then we'll get to some worship, and then we're going to get right into our testimonies. First off, if you're joining us online, thank you for joining us online. I'm actually glad that we can be online this morning. Up until a few minutes ago, we were having video problems, so we're actually still having a little bit of video problems. So that's why you're zoomed out if you're watching online, and we can't seem to get the cameras working exactly the way we want, but thankfully there is a picture, and hopefully there is some decent audio, but thank you for joining with us online, and if this is your first time with us, just fill out that information card, that digital information card that should be in the comments there, and we'll reach out to you, and we just thanks for joining us, and if you're here this morning, if this is your very first time, there's an information card in the seat in front of you. Just fill that and take it to the information center after the service, and we have a gift for you, just a thanks for being with us. Okay, a few announcements. You ready? I said, are you ready? Everyone say, I'm ready. Yes. Everyone say, I'm ready. Yes. All right, here we go. First off, next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we are making a big shift to two Sunday morning services. You might notice the past few Sundays we've been hitting close to our 15% capacity of 112 people, and so we figure it's time to shift because we don't see the regulations shifting anytime soon. So we're going to shift to two Sunday morning services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Believe it or not, it has been over a year since we've been at two Sunday morning services. It was like way back in March of last year. And we're going to 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Traditionally, when we were back a year when we were doing two services, we were at 9:15 and 11 o'clock. But we need to leave a little bit of time in between the services just for cleaning. So just take note of that. Still need to pre-register. So we'll send out an email tomorrow. And you need to pre-register for Sunday, whether it's the 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock. And just a few things about these services as well. Only the 9 o'clock service is going to be live streamed. So if you're watching online, just take note of that. It is saved after the service online too, so you can watch it at any time. But if you want to catch the live event, come to 9 o'clock. And if you've been thinking, you're watching online, you've been thinking, oh, I'm saving room for people that at church, giving up my seat for someone else to be there. We got lots of room now next Sunday, so come on in. We'd love to have you here. Also, 9 o'clock service is the only service that we're going to be offering our GeForce program, which is our kids program downstairs, age 4 to grade 4. So parents, take note of that. And both of the service will have our self-serve nursery open as well, where parents can go in there and the service is on a TV screen. Okay? Also, next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, we're going to be taking up a collection for the food bank. One of the things that we do at Easter is we celebrate that God gave us the best gift ever, eternal life, and we want to give back and show grace to others. And so one of the ways we do that is helping our local community. So we'll be sending out in the loop this week to a reminder of some things that you can, some non-perishable food items that you can bring next Sunday as a gift to our community to help out our local food bank, okay? This coming Thursday is April 1st. This is April Fool's Day, but it's also the day before Good Friday. And we have done something over the past few years on Thursday night before Good Friday. It's called a Maundy Thursday service, a Maundy Thursday service. And this is essentially just a Good Friday service on a Thursday night. And so this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock, we are going to gather, and this is just a simple service focused on the cross. It's a contemplative service focused on the cross, and we're going to come around the communion table. And you might be asking, why are you doing this on a Thursday night? Well, some traditions actually meet on a Thursday night, and it's not Monday Thursday, it's Maundy Thursday. It's Latin, M-A-U-N-D-Y, and it comes, it's the Maundy from which we get the word mandate. And that night, before Jesus went to the cross, he met with his disciples and he gave them a mandate. Remember, he took the bread and he took the cup and he says, do this in remembrance of me. And he also washed their feet and he gave them this mandate. And so it's a time where we just want to come together and focus on the cross. So this Thursday, 7 o'clock, make sure you pre-register for this one as well. We'd love to have you here as we remember why Jesus went to the cross. Also, for this service, I'm looking for 5 people that would be willing to read Scripture up front in the service. They have 5 chunks of Scripture. Some of them are about 5 to 10 verses long. If you'd be willing to read Scripture in that service, just reach out to me, and I'll make sure that you can get in on that. Last thing is this. During the Easter season, we're going to be taking up a special offering. We usually take up a special offering as a church around Thanksgiving and Christmas and then Easter, kind of the crescendos of our Christian faith. And so we are going to take up a special Easter offering for Open Doors. Open Doors is a ministry organization, an international ministry organization that supports the persecuted church around the world. And many of our brothers and sisters around the world don't share in the same freedoms that we have, and they experience an enormous amount of persecution. And so we just want to remember that this Easter season, this great crescendo of our faith, where we remember that he died and he rose again, and we have eternal life. But we want to remember our brothers and sisters around the world. So if you would like to give to this, just note it on your envelope when you give, or note it on your e-transfer when you give, Open Doors. And let's let this giving be over and above our current giving to the church. Just as a thanks offering, a gift to the Lord to support our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. And that offering is going to stay open right to the end of the parable series on April the 18th. On April the 18th, I'm going to be sharing a parable that kind of is right in line with supporting our brothers and sisters around the world who are facing extreme persecution. Whew. Well, this is a special service. We got that announcement out of the way. This is a special service. We got 2 seats here. I'm going to be sitting here. I'm going to have people sitting here. And we are going to hear some stories of what God is doing in some individual lives. So let's open our hearts up to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. Let's open our hands and open our hearts. And let's receive what God has for us this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come into this place and that we can gather. Thank you for those that are joining us online. And we pray that as we meet, that you would sweep away all the things that will be distracting and unhelpful this morning. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come into each one of us, that you'd come into each one of those that are sharing this morning, that they're sharing the story of what you're doing in their life, that you'd carry them along, that you'd give them the words, and that you would use what is said today to bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, we love you, and we ask, continue to ask for your presence to be here with us as we gather. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you rise with us here again this morning?
I will tell my story. There will be one thing that I proclaim.
Let my heart be covered.
Go ahead and have a seat. Well, these Sundays are some of my favorite Sundays. I just get to hear stories about what God is doing in individual lives. And typically we do about three of them a year. We do one around March, we do one around June, and we do one in the fall. And typically we have about four to five people that share on these Sundays, but today we have just three. And that's okay because each of these have a lot to share today, and they have. I didn't want to cut them off because they have a lot in their stories. One of the things that I love about this Sunday is that I've noticed over the past few years is what I like to call the Holy Spirit snowball, where God, the Holy Spirit is working in each one of your lives, and the Holy Spirit, when they're working in your life, is going to take one little aspect of this story, and one little aspect of that story, and one little aspect of that story, and they're going to pack it all together. He's going to deliver it to you. And then over here, he's going to take one little aspect of this story, and one little aspect of this story, and one little aspect of this story, and then he's going to pack it all together and deliver it there. And it's going to be different for each one of us. So listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to encourage and challenge you with in your walk. So we're going to start this morning with someone who's actually not here, and I had to record it earlier this week. You might remember back in October at our last one-word service, I interviewed a guy named Paul Allison. Paul has come here for a number of years. He helps with our video and tech stuff. He hasn't been here for over a year, and he actually couldn't come into the building because of the mask thing. His doctor told him literally, do not wear a mask because of his lung issues. And when he came in, actually, he walked in from that door up to here for us to video this, and he was like panting really hard, give me 5 minutes to catch my breath. So that's why he can't be here, but he's watching online. And you might remember last fall when he shared his story. He was talking about some medical issues, but yet, and he woke up in the hospital, and he's like, "Oh God, I'm still here. I'm still alive. Well, what do you want me for? Am I supposed to witness to someone?" And he ends up witnessing to someone, and God still used him despite that. And I remember that phrase that he said last fall in his testimony. I just love talking about Jesus. Well, he has an update to share with us, and I'm not going to steal his thunder. Why don't we roll the video, and that'll be our first one, and then we'll have someone else come up and join me.
All right. Hey, everyone. We have a special guest with us today on video. This is kind of like deja vu because the last time that we did a one-word service, we were in your trailer and we were talking about what God was doing in your life. And today we want to talk about, this is Paul, by the way, Paul Allison. Today we want to kind of give us an update because God's been doing some things with your new one word and in your own health and in your answered prayer and all that. So why don't you start, Paul, by telling us what's your one word this year and why did you select it?
Okay. My one word is love. And I chose it because at first I actually chose joy. And then I felt, no, I should change it and have peace. And then God more or less told me, what is it that both of those represent? And when I thought about it for a moment, I realized it was love. So I decided to take love. And my one word comes from John 13, 34 and 35. So now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples.
Awesome. And so we'll talk in a minute here about how that's now coming alive in your life. But when we left you last time, you were having some health issues, and you were in the hospital, and you were witnessing to this guy, and you were telling me that you continue to pray for him. His name is...
Acid,
but since then, there's been some miraculous answers to prayer in your own life, and then in other people's life that you've been praying for. So why don't you just tell us kind of briefly what's been going on? You had a surprise test that kind of accidentally came about, and then it was good news.
Yes, On the 10th of February, I was called by the U of A hospital and was asked to come in on the 12th for a PET scan, which I didn't really understand. But I went anyway, and they did a PET scan, which they told me I would get the results. My doctor would call me on Tuesday, because Monday was a holiday, family day. So my doctor called first thing on Monday morning. He was confused. He said, "You had a PET scan." I said, "Yes." He said, "Who ordered the PET scan?" I said, "You did." He said, "No." And he says, "Whose name was on it?" I said, "Yours." And he shook his head, or he didn't shake his head. I couldn't see him. He was on the phone. He said, "No, that doesn't sound right." He said, "Not only that, why is it? It says here that you have severe bladder cancer." Now it was my turn. I'm going, "I don't. I have prostate cancer." "I know that," he says. I said, "Why? Who said I had bladder cancer?" He said, "That's what it says on your chart." I said, "Oh, okay." And he says, "Well, I've got to go." He says, "I got to get to the bottom of this." I said, "Whoa, can you just tell me what the results are?" So he told me, "Well, I can tell you this, you don't have bladder cancer." I knew that. He said, "Not only that, there's no sign of any prostate cancer." Yes.
Wow.
So then he went on and he said, "There's just one little spot up behind the pituitary gland." He says, "That was very bright." He said, "But it's just a little spot."
That's right.
And I thought, yes, that's right, in behind the nose. And I thought, yes, awesome. Because on 16th of April, I go in for that again anyway.
Yeah.
And they'll probably hit it one more time. No big deal.
So you got news kind of by accident. They did an accidental test, and they discovered that you're free of cancer.
So as far as they can see,
as
yes.
As far as they can see.
And this one isn't cancerous.
This one, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, last time we talked in October, November of last year, at the last one word service, you were talking about how you prayed for other people and you experienced healing and you healed, you know, God used you to heal people through prayer. And now the Lord gave you this gift in February.
Yeah. And my eyes are clear again, so.
Yeah, that was another issue.
That was another issue.
Everything was kind of spinning and the lights.
All distorted.
Yeah, and now you're clear.
Yeah, God has blessed us very much.
Wow, praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
What are some of the other answers to prayer that you've seen with other people? Can you just briefly tell us a few of those?
Well, I prayed for a friend, and she hadn't had work for over 2 years, so she asked me to pray. We prayed. Within a couple days, she called me back and said she had work. Prayed for another friend whose grandfather has ALS. And his parents were also out of work. And he called me back the very next day and said that his father got work. So praise God.
Hey.
And it's just these things are just going on day after day. And I've just started writing them down because I just wanted to see how many. Inside of a matter of 3 weeks, there was over 8 prayers that were answered. So praise God.
Yeah. Wow. I just love the gift of faith that God has given you, and just a gift of prayer to pray for other people. You've also said that you've been, because of your one word, love, you just find yourself emotional and weeping over things in other people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, you chose this one word, love, and then all of a sudden something will happen. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I find I can be listening to something. Somebody will a news broadcast or something, I'll hear something, and all of a sudden I find myself weeping over that person, over that situation, and find myself having to pray over that situation, not understanding why or anything else.
Yeah.
And like yesterday, I went to my doctor, Dr. Vanderwalt, and he had told me about a situation of a young man who came in a week ago, and they gave him high doses of antibiotics because he had broke his toe and he had had blood poisoning going up his leg. And it just so happened I broke my toe also many years ago and had blood poisoning up my leg, and I ended up 4 months in the hospital. And this young man, he was sent home, and then on Sunday he was rushed back to the hospital and they had to airlift him to U of A because now not only did he have blood poisoning up past his hip, he also had blood clots and all kinds of other problems that he could hardly breathe. So they had to rush him to the U of A. And I don't know how he's doing, but I just have to pray for him.
But you just found yourself just weeping over
I
that.
I can't help it. Even when I'm talking to you now, I just have to fight it back.
Yeah.
Wow. It brings back memories.
Yeah.
I know what I went through at that time. It really was painful.
He's God's given you these empathetic love eyes for others.
Yeah.
And
this isn't even half a year yet.
Yeah.
What's coming next?
Yeah. So if you were to say something, what would you like to say to our church to either encourage them or to challenge them in this season that they're in, based on what God's doing in your life? And what would you say?
Whatever it is God's put on your heart to do or to believe, just trust Him, absolute, and know that He will make those changes or do whatever it is that you need, that He knows you need to be able to do what He wants to get me done.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something we quite often do, is we ask God to change us, and then we don't trust Him to do it. And so we try to make our own changes. And then we fail and we don't understand why. God, why didn't you? Why didn't you? Well, God said, well, you stepped in. So, and God just says it's time. We need to step back and let Him do it.
Yeah.
And it's so hard for us to do, but we need to.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, Paul. Thanks for giving us an update of what God's doing in your life. And
well, thanks for giving me a chance to take this time, and I miss everybody here.
Lord willing, maybe you'll be back soon.
It would be nice.
In person. But you're watching online faithfully.
I am.
Yeah. Anyway, blessings. Thank you.
God bless.
Wow, that's pretty cool, eh? What God is doing in his life. I'm going to ask Rochelle to come. Rochelle Lawson, maybe some of you might recognize her. It's been a while since she's been in the building. They've been coming for a number of years now. They usually sit at the back over there, her and her husband Brody and their two sons Joshua and Jacob. And Rochelle is in my small group, my Tuesday night small group that I have for parents. And then Kelly does a kids program with the kids. And Rochelle keeps me on my toes. She's always asking good questions after I preach or in small group, and keeps me honest, keeps me on my toes. And she also is trying to feed me food that I don't like, so I don't like her because of that either. But then she brings me ginger ale, so we both agree that we like ginger ale, right? Yes, exactly. And Rochelle is not nervous at all this morning. And I told him that this is a very hard crowd. Now, this is a very easy crowd. They are here for you. And you got Angie, part of your small group. You got Eric as part of your small group. The Warmans are watching you online. So our small group is here with you, helping you in this. And when there was something that you said, it was a couple Tuesdays ago in our small group. And I was like, oh, wow, would you be willing to share on Sunday that story? I mean, that's heavy. That's a heavy story about what God's doing in your life. And you were like, yep, absolutely. And now you regret it. But here you are. So, Rochelle, Why don't you start by just telling us your one word? And it's actually your one word from last year because it bleeds into this year as well. And maybe it is your one year word for 2 years. Why don't you read it and pull the mic up so people online can hear you from Isaiah. Are we on?
Oh. Yeah, sorry. My one word is courage, and it's from Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord.
What an amazing promise from Isaiah 54 that we can claim that we are in Christ. Now, weapon formed against you will prevail. And as we're going to talk about in a minute, there's been a lot of darkness that's been pounding at you over your life, and even as of recent. And that's been like a foundation, a rock solid foundation for you throughout all last year and even previous years before that. So, she said she's you're gonna cry, right? You're fighting them now. When you hear this story, you'll understand why. So why don't you take us back to your struggle at the beginning, when you first get married, and then I'll step out of the way. Go ahead. I'll help you along. Yeah.
We started trying for a family in around 2007, and we had 3 miscarriages, and we went to England to get away from life just because I was emotionally done. Physically, my body was not doing well, and we went for a week. It was awesome. We kind of forgot about it and whatever. We were coming home, and we were talking, and it was on a Sunday. Look back on the date, Sunday, July 27th, 2008, we were flying home, and Brody and I had the conversation about not having any kids, and just being a husband and wife family. And at 4:12 p.m., which I told you, we decided that we were not going to have kids, and we were just going to work, and travel, and enjoy life. And at the exact same time, there were phone calls being left, and messages being left, about this little boy, Conrad, that we were supposed to meet. So I didn't want to. I'm like, I don't want kids. I've been through enough. I don't want to meet them. I agreed. I'm like, okay, I'll go meet them just to humor these people and get them to shut up for a while. And then neither of us can remember, but it was between 10 and 11, somewhere in there, we met this little red-headed boy. Strawberry blonde hair, and I looked down at him, and I looked over at Brody, and I'm like, this is our baby. And we picked him up we picked Joshua up the following Wednesday at 9:30. We went and picked him up and had our little boy.
Okay, so you're running through a lot of stuff here fast. That's fine. You had a number of miscarriages, and we've had one. And I know there's a lot of women in here and a lot of families in here that have had them as well. You had quite a few of them and over a period of time. And do you want to talk about what that did in your relationship with the Lord at that time?
I hated God. Hated him. Like, how can you do this to somebody you love? How? How can a loving God willingly allow people to do or have this done to them or whatever?
Yeah.
Because there was 3 before Josh and then 3 after Josh, and yeah. So he broke.
You had 6 miscarriages.
And
7 babies. You had twins in there once.
Yeah.
And one of them was at Christmas time, I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
That's when we lost the twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Most can only claim I have had 1 or 2.
Because I'm stubborn.
You're stubborn. So backing up, you go to England to get some reprieve and rest, and then you on the plane, you kind of surrender to the Lord, and you said you glanced at your watch, and you said it was 4:12, at 4:12. Okay. Some reason you said you remember 4:12. You're on the plane over the Atlantic. And
I think we were over on Ontario at that point.
Oh, Ontario, okay, sure, all right. that's eternal too, by the size of the Atlantic. And then you get home and you check your email. Your phone messages, and the phone messages are at
412
that there's this adoption child. When after you've surrendered in the plane at 412, there's a phone call message waiting for you at 412. Isn't that pretty cool? And then you go, and then now you've adopted little Joshua.
Yeah.
Joshua is how old now?
He'll be 13 in a week.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy. Okay, backing up to, you said you just hated God, and you had this like, why are you doing this to me? How did you then get out of this? What were some of the things that you did to come to the point where you're sitting here today and you're not in that position?
I went to Jesus therapy.
You went to Jesus therapy.
Jesus therapy.
There you go. Yeah.
And they did praying, and it was very spiritual type. You told me the word. It's not intercession.
Deliverance.
Deliverance. Thank
yeah.
you. And I saw Jesus in a vision, and he was knocking down brick walls. He's like, yeah, you're angry? Watch this. And he would just knock down wall after wall after wall. And the miscarriage wall was huge. And he took a sledgehammer. I told you guys. He took a sledgehammer and just said, watch what I'm going to do with this pain. And he knocked it down. And
yeah,
it was gone. And I was able to open up to him and tell him how angry I was and how hurt I was and broken I was. And he's like, it's okay. And I was in God's lap sobbing like a little, like you would hold the baby.
Yeah, yeah.
He just held me and he's like, it's okay. I still love you. And
wow.
Yeah.
And so in that time, this was this vision that you had.
Yeah.
And you said something about
when he closes a door, he breaks down a wall. He doesn't, like when he closes a door.
Say that again. They didn't pick that. Say that again.
When the Lord closes a door, he doesn't open a window. He breaks down a wall.
Yeah.
Like it's when it's his timing, when it's his way, he is going to.
Yeah. And so the wall that he broke down was, now you have
two boys
that you've adopted. And that was the wall that he broke down, because that was his plan for you. And you even talked about how this was just an act of grace, because these boys were in desperate situations.
Yeah, Joshua, his birth mom is fetal alcohol, and he was shutting down. He was dying when we got him.
Hmm.
Like, the kids die of crib death. He would have died. There was a few times I had to call Brody to come home from, I had to call him to come home from work, because Joshua, I couldn't wake him up.
Okay.
And I wasn't shaking him, because you're not supposed to shake him.
Yeah.
I'm like, wake up. And he wouldn't wake up. So
yeah.
He was dying, and we loved him back to life.
Yeah.
And Jacob, with his birth mom and her mental health issues, he would have been in a dumpster, just ditched somewhere. And
yeah. So from that extremely painful, I can't quite imagine. I don't think any of us here can quite imagine, unless we've gone through that much. That he somehow, he broke down a wall and he somehow redeemed it in a way?
More than in a way. He completely redeemed it, because we've got these two incredible kids and the Lord's got huge plans for them. Right?
So he's completely redeemed it.
Yeah,
completely. Yeah. And these two boys, you say, probably wouldn't be alive.
There's no way either of them would have.
Yeah, because you get them from some pretty desperate situations. Yeah.
Jake's birth mom was on the streets.
Yeah. Wow. So, do you want to talk recently, because of Jacob's past, or his earth parents' past
history?
He brought some, because your word is weapons. No weapon formed against me shall prevail. There was some darkness in him that you just couldn't fix with any medication or parenting techniques. You know, focus on the family didn't work. What's that?
Tried to beat it out of him and it didn't work.
Tried to beat it out, yeah. And there was just something there.
Yeah.
Talk about how dark that was sometimes.
He'd go into a fit of rage. Well, it was more than rage, because it was like there was a spirit there.
Yeah.
Chaos and
Fuzzy brain?
Fuzzy brain, that's what he called
it. He called it fuzzy,
brain.
He calls it fuzzy brain. He could even feel it coming on.
Feel it coming on. He's like, Mom, fuzzy brain's coming. And I'd be like, oh my goodness. So yeah. there was a spirit there that was controlling him. And he would get to the point that it would take both Brody and I to physically restrain him, and we couldn't.
He's eight.
And he's eight.
That's all.
Well, yeah, he's getting
it takes two of you to hold him down.
Yeah. And it would, like, Brody and I would have to lie on him. And there were times when I'm like, there's something going on, and I'd pray, and Brody would be holding him, and the spirit would be pushing me down.
There's a dark spirit literally pushing you down.
And
to
I'd be like, I told you, I was bent in half at one point, because I'm like, this is ridiculous. And we just...
And you even addressed this dark spirit within him at once, and it spoke to you with...
He's like, it's mine. And everything was in third person. He's mine. And me. And it was...
Yeah, that's fine.
So he, or the spirit or whatever, would claim Jacob and would always talk in third person.
Yeah. Like, he's mine.
He's mine.
And it'd be his voice, but it would be a shrilly voice.
But it was coming out of an 8-year-old, so it was it was
it just wasn't right.
Horrible, evil. It wasn't Jake.
Yeah.
And Jake was born, and he was this happy spirit, like... this happy little spirit. We called him Joy.
Yeah, and you said he's super compassionate kid, but then he would just have these moments.
And it just, you never knew when it was coming.
Yeah.
Just out of the blue.
And so something triggered where you're like, okay, this isn't a parenting technique. This isn't some sort of thing we need to medicate. This is something dark going on. And then you approached me saying, is this something dark? Is there something spiritual going on? Yeah. And then I go, my higher-ups in the district, and say, do you have any help with this? And then we did a Zoom session. And I had every single elder in this place and every single staff in this place at that moment were praying for us in this Zoom session. And talk about that. Yeah.
I can't remember the word you said. Again.
Deliverance.
Deliverance.
Yeah.
We prayed for deliverance for him. We prayed... And we called them by, like, chaos and anarchy. And
even Fuzzy Brain, we called him out.
We called him out. We got rid of the curses that were put on our family and on Jacob. And we claimed him as our child as opposed to his birth mom's child. And we claimed our house and our property and even our vehicles and all this. It was incredible. I was in tears within 2 minutes. I was sobbing in it. And he woke up the next morning. And he...
Let him flow. Let the tears flow. This is an amazing story.
He started professing that Jesus loved him.
Yeah.
And that he was Jesus' boy. And that he loved Jesus. And he's, Mommy, I'm a child of the light. And I'm like, oh my God, yes, you are, buddy. And every morning now, he wakes up, we're going to school, I'm a child of the light. Evil has no business here. And he starts to, in this cute little 8-year-old disability-ridden boy, he's proclaiming the love of Christ.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can't be around that little girl, because she's mean, and that's...
Come on, that's clapping right there. Okay. Like, he literally wakes up the next morning, just... I am a child of the light.
Yeah.
Jesus loves me. An 8-year-old boy.
Yeah.
You see in the Gospels that Jesus has this affection. I think Doug Balzer, who is helping us, he's like, he ramps up his omnipotence when it comes to a child and deliverance, right? Like, as if that's possible. But you know what I mean? Like, he just has this affection for a child. You see it in the Gospels where a father brings his son to Jesus, goes, I don't know what happens. And Jesus is like, done, you know? And amazing, and he's and Tuesday nights, and Kelly teaches him on Tuesday nights, and he's just a
running into walls.
Running away. He's a typical 8-year-old boy.
Yeah, right? Which is fun because we're getting to learn.
Yeah.
Who Jacob is now.
Yeah.
And he's still a spirited kid. Like, don't get me wrong, he's still got a bit of a temper on him.
Yeah.
He gets that from his father.
Well, he's not here, so we can.
Yeah. He's listening.
Yeah.
Trouble.
And Brody's watching online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's so much fun. And I also said on Tuesday, it's a lot of work having to relearn who Jacob is. And
yeah. He said he's super compassionate now.
Oh, he is. He's like, if I'm crying, oh, Mommy, are you okay? And he'll come give me a hug and make sure I'm okay. Or if someone else gets hurt, he makes sure they're okay.
And your teeth, Iggy.
Oh, yeah. Don't point that. that out when he broke my teeth.
He broke your teeth?
He was in tears because he broke mommy's teeth.
And then he realized he did it.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm so sorry, mommy. Yeah, yeah. It's okay, but you didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, wow. Wow. No weapon formed against you shall prevail. He's breaking down walls, right? In your kid's life as well. So, if you were to say anything to the church about what God's done in your life, what would be some things to encourage them or to challenge them?
He has a plan. I wrote it down.
It's fine.
He has a plan that we can't see or understand. So in all things, good or bad, have joy and contentment. Praise him during those times because he makes beauty out of the ashes. He restores the broken and makes all things new. He gives hope even in the darkness. He promises never to leave us or forsake us, and he is very faithful to that promise. When it seems or feels like he has left us, he is the one giving us breath and the strength to make it minute by minute, hour by hour, or day by day.
Wow. That's awesome. Thank you for having the courage of coming up here and sharing your story that is vulnerable and that is huge. And I know God is going to use it in someone's life here, everyone. So thank you so much for joining us. All right, Noelle, I'm going to have you join us. Noelle Green has been with us for, it was a year and a half, maybe 2 years now. Bruce brought him here. Noelle, everyone's been telling me, you got to talk to Noelle. He just got back from Ghana on a mission trip. We're going to talk about that. Here, why don't you use the other one, actually? I'll use this one here. And it's probably a better mic anyway. And we'll get into why that is, but we love having you part of Sunday morning. You add a joy and just the Holy Spirit presence with your praise the Lord, hallelujahs, raising your hands. We just love having you a part of our church. Why don't you start? Because we sat down this week and you told me a bit of your story about how you even got to Canada, and why you're even here, and then the whole time my jaw is just dropping as you tell story after story of these miracles of what God has been doing in your life, and you've been to prison, and I want to talk about that. That's amazing, your ministry in Guam now. So why don't you back up and tell us from the beginning, from where you started in my office.
Where I started, well, I don't know how many hours we have.
We got some time.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But I'm excited, you know, God have done a lot for me. But I would go back, you know, from Liberia, you know, and one of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 29, verse 11, where God said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord." He said, "Plan to prosper us and not to harm us, and to give us hope and a future."
Amen.
But, you know, to make a long story short, God revealed his awesome power to me in Liberia. When I got involved, I used to work with a Christian organization, and was sent out on my way back. You know, I got a taxi driver, ran me off the road, and minor accident, and that's where it all started. You know, the police came, I wouldn't drive, I wouldn't do anything. I was taken to the police station from one thing to another. To make a long story short, when they found out that I couldn't drive, they threw me in prison because of that.
Okay. And so backing up before that, you were already trying to gain access into that prison, right? And to be a chaplain in that prison, right? And you're like, stonewall, door wouldn't open. And then there's this like Joseph moment of this unjust thing where you get thrown into prison. And tell us what you did when you just sat there.
Thank you, Pastor. As a matter of fact, you are jumping the gun a bit.
Oh, okay.
So I'll go back to the other one. The first one was the one that I got thrown in prison where I would not drive. And out of that situation, just to make a long story short, I was in there, I had gone out, I said, "God, I haven't done anything, why should this happen?" But anyway, out of, I was in prison, there were 22 other lawbreakers, prisoners in there with me. And after around about 11:30 at night, the Holy Spirit ministered to me very clearly, said, minister to these young people. That's my first time, and that is when I shared the gospel with them. And out of 22, 18 of them gave their life to Christ.
Wow.
And that excited me. Anyway, the joy went on there, and they sang, you know, they sang, they started a song, the one song that I can remember, I have decided to follow Jesus. No more turning back, no more turning back. But anyway, they sang from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. in the morning. The God came to stop them, they wouldn't stop. But anyway, they kept going. So I could have been in prison for a time indefinite. That's how our prisons are. But anyway, when the warden came that morning, they went and reported to him that the young man they brought in here caused a lot of troubles, and therefore, because of that, guess what? They threw me out. That was the excitement part. But anyway, joy went on, and I went back on Wednesday. On Thursday, I was there. But on Sunday, one of the missionaries, SIM missionary, decided to go into the prison with me. And out of there, when we got to the prison, the 18 that had accepted Christ, miraculously, I was the only one that had their names. Miraculously, they were all released. For until today, one cannot understand.
Wow.
And while standing there, I look at the missionary look at me, the guard standing there. Making a long story short, the guard gave him his life to Christ. The other prisoners that were in there, they wanted to be a part of that miracle. They also gave their life to Christ.
Wow.
And now to go back to your story, I was excited. I kept going to prison from one thing to another. Some of the prisoners were released to the maximum prison. And therefore, I wrote letters upon letters to go into the maximum prison to proclaim the word. I was turned down. They said, oh, they have high-profile prisoners. They have political prisoners. I am not allowed to get in there. I got discouraged. I said, oh, well, God, it's all over. But I believe God was not over with what he was doing. So I stopped going to prison for 3 months. But this time too, I was also involved with Youth for Christ ministry. We had gone out to minister, and the PA system we took for, you know, to use, it wasn't working. So I was sent back to the headquarters, to the office, Youth for Christ office, to get another PA system. On my way back, that's when I stopped at a red light. A young man who was so drunk, couldn't control himself, started into my car, dropped, and that was the only, I wasn't moving. There were witnesses there. Anyway, the police came again. They were on the radio, a commotion. Some of the bystanders came and said, oh, this guy hasn't done anything. He was sitting down there. But anyway, from one thing to another, all of a sudden, I heard this voice. He was so angry, so mad. And I was standing by the police officer. He said they should not take me to the minimum prison, but straight to the maximum prison. When I heard that, my heart started pounding. Our prisons are so horrible. But at a later time, I found out that the person that stumbled into my car was the brother of the National Police Director of Liberia.
Wow.
So he took matters into his own hands and said they should take me straight to the maximum prison. And that is where, when I walked in there, I sat down there and I said, God, why? Your word says you watch our going out and our coming in. Why should this happen? I went out to proclaim your word. Why should this happen? Anyway, I argued with God for a while. And Pastor, while I was sitting down there arguing with God, all of a sudden, it looked like when you are in a dark room and someone just turned the lights on you, surprisingly. When the lights came on, the Holy Spirit ministered to me and said, do you remember you wrote letters upon letters to come into this prison and you were turned down? Now this is your chance.
But not the way you intended.
I turned to the Holy Spirit and I said, but this is not the way I want to come in. God, you know, just open the door and let them accept my letter and everything. But no, God has his own way.
That's just
glorifying his name.
That seems to be a theme today. Wow. And so then what happened?
And what happened, it was from that point when I was in there, there were also 150 prisoners in there. But our prisons are so horrible. In the prison, they have their own government. They have their own president. And sometimes you walk in there, they will beat you, they will mistreat you. But my story is like Joseph. When Joseph found favor in the prison,
wow,
where he was protected, that is my story. I was protected. The president said, oh, they should not touch this guy. He's a pastor. They should leave him by alone. Anyway, later on, I asked for permission from the president, can I proclaim the word of God? After the Holy Spirit ministered to me very clear, I accepted. There was peace in my heart. And out of the 150 prisoners, 75 gave their life to Christ.
And Pastor, wow.
There was such a joy bubbling. I mean, I could not contain the joy what God was doing. But anyway, from there, you know, you had people that were coming for counseling. And I mean, the Holy Spirit was just using me mightily. To be honest, I had no experience, but the awesome power of God, the Holy Spirit, was using me to minister to many broken hearts in there. Anyway, Pastor, the seventh day, again, I had this problem with the national police director, his brother. But on the seventh day, I was sitting at the corner. I heard my name, Noel, Noel. When I walked to the door, they said, pack your stuff and leave. I could not understand it. Anyway, I packed my stuff. I went to the president. I told him, I said, I love you guys. I will be back to share the word of God, to pray with you guys more. Anyway, I was released. Just to make a long story short, until today, until I left Liberia, not even one day someone came to me and said, okay, you have to go to court, or, you know, you have to follow that, just die.
So you don't know why you're there, and you don't know why you left, but you were there.
But after I was released, I went back on a Friday to the office at the maximum prison. I went, I was nervous. As a matter of fact, I went with one of the missionaries. We prayed about it before. And when we got there, I was asked to sit from one person to another. They came back with a letter and my heart was pounding. I said, okay, the doors are closed forever. But when he came, he looked at me and said, you know, after checking everything, they found out that you were here and you know, you did an amazing job. And therefore this letter is given to you. You are open to come here at any time, any moment.
Wow.
And that's how the doors.
Wow. That into the prison ministry. And that, yeah. And so then, how did you end up in Canada? Like, tell me that story.
Thank you, Pastor. Yeah. How did I end up in Canada? Anyway, my situation, I got involved with the government. But as time, you know, went by, I got involved. The prison ministry was just growing. I mean, God was just using me mightily. You know, even I had other nationals that were going into prison with me, and some of the missionaries. So it just grew. And from there, the government found out what I was doing, and the government gave me the opportunity to, you know, eventually I started to work with the government. I've been in charge of the prisons, some of the prisons in Liberia. And it was out of there, we wanted to start, I think like a halfway house, you know, to have a place where when the prisoner come out, we can have a place to rehabilitate them, you know,
sure,
reintegrate into society. So I approached the government. The government said it was a good idea. So therefore, out of that, they sent me out of, you know, made arrangement with the government here in Canada to come and learn the prison system. And to go back, I was only supposed to be here. That was for 1 month. That was June of 1990. I was only supposed to be here for a month. I know now you're asking me why you're still here. But anyway, 2 weeks after I arrived in Canada, a civil war broke up in Liberia. And brothers and sisters, to let you know, if this Noah Green were to be in that war, I had 0% chance. But that is another story by itself. God revealed it very clear. the number five came. He said, God, the Holy Spirit ministered to me. You had only 5% chance of survival. That is close to zero. I would have died. No question asked. Even when the war started, they went to my house. When I wasn't there, they broke down and took everything. Everything. And I have friends. I have coveralls that printed at the front. No problem. By the way, that was my nickname. No problem. They took the coveralls. They were wearing them. The rebels, some of the prisons were broke down, and most of the prisoners joined the rebels.
Wow.
And therefore, some of them were wearing my coveralls. And that was a clear indication that I would survive in that war, period. But when I heard that, I came on my knees. Anyway, one day I was fasting. I was, you know, I used to volunteer with one organization here by the name of Hope Mission.
Yep.
When I found out that I could not go back. And one morning I was fasting and praying, and I was standing and looking through the window, and it was more like a vision that God made it so clear. Noel, if you were to be in that war, you would not have survived. You had only 5% chance. Pastor, that's when I came on my knees and I said, thank you. And now he revealed it very clear. The first time I was in prison, I mean, I was arguing with God, why? The second time again, when I gave up and said, well, I got discouraged, he opened another door supernaturally, threw me in prison again. That is when I fell on my knees with tears. And I said, God, thank you. There are times that when things are happening, there is, I mean, Romans 8:28 came so clear. It said, all, everything. For we know that all things works together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose and his plan. There is nothing that happened to you and me. There's a purpose and a plan. Whatever you, wherever you are in life, there is a purpose and there's the reason why you are going through that journey. And that is when I thank God and say, thank you, Lord. I didn't know what you were doing. Because if I were not to be thrown in prison the first time, and if I stopped going to prison, I would have been in Liberia. But when I stopped in my own stubbornness, in my own lack of understanding, he opened another door supernaturally, threw me back in prison again. And that is what brought me to Canada.
Wow.
Since then, I have been on fire wanting to serve the Lord.
Just a little bit. Wow, that'll preach. Wow. Okay. So there are so many things I want you to say. So you obviously established residence here, but then your birth family, because you're adopted by the vice president in Liberia, and so your birth parents in Guam found out that you're alive. Take it from there.
Thank you, Mark. And like I'm saying, you know, in our life, you know, God, you mentioned that, when we are here to share the Holy Spirit, we take here and put together and bless your heart. But it's the same thing. God, you take pieces here, and make our life together. And sometimes you don't understand. Anyway, I was adopted by the vice president of Liberia, and I grew up in Liberia, didn't even know I had a family in Ghana. But while I was here, I had no idea. Somehow, one of my cousins who is in the States, and all this time when the war started in Liberia, they were all around looking for me. They called, even the Blue Cross of Canada, all over, you know, they tried to find where I was. And all that they concluded was I was dead, because stories were told to them that Noel was dead. And because of that, they were about to perform my funeral in Ghana. And but somehow, you know, they've been looking for me and they gave up. One of my cousins, just to make a long story short, he said he was praying at night. The Holy Spirit just woke him up. He was praying. He went back to bed. 7 in the morning, the Holy Spirit challenged him that he should call that number again. He called, that was in June 15, 2012. And I picked up the phone, He introduced himself and said, oh, you know, I'm Fidel, that's his name. I said, okay, and who are you? Anyway, he went ahead, introduced himself. He said, you know, I am his cousin. I thought it was a prank call. Anyway, he went on, he called names. That is when I knew that, yes, it was true. So he said, oh, by the way, we've been looking for you. And he asked me a question. Do I want him to give me a number to call Ghana, or should he call? I said, well, you call. You made the contact. You call them. So when he called Ghana, the whole place went on fire, where I am from, Tongo. So after that, you know, he gave me some numbers. I called. December, I was on my way to Ghana to meet my biological family.
Yeah.
Because I was really touched. I arrived in Ghana in December 21st, and that is when I was told that because they were about to perform my funeral, but my mother, who is a praying mother, said no. There was something in her spirit that says that I was still.
Wow.
And therefore, when I got to that village, Tomba, Bruce had been there with me, the whole village was full, trying, waiting to see this wonderful miracle person.
Yeah.
That they thought he was dead, but now still alive.
And that was in 2012?
2012.
And then from that, you birthed this passion to do missions work there. So tell me about that.
Exactly. And God used that opportunity again. And like I'm saying, my story is like Joseph. When Joseph was taken out of you know, his parents into Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and where he was thrown in prison, and that's just how my story unfolded just before that. Thrown in prison, you know, and from there, taking me back to Ghana. Anyway, I was in Ghana 2012, and that is when I was there. It's a very poor area, the northern part of Ghana. And I was 2012, 2013, I went back. And I had the opportunity of going to one of the schools to share the gospel. And it was from that point that I made the connection with the school. And also that same week, one of the kids that, the children that I spoke to, was taken to the hospital. And when I went to the hospital to visit that young girl to find out that he was laid on an iron bed with no mattress. But at the school, in the classes, sometimes they have about 90 kids in one class.
Hmm.
90 kids, and that grabbed my heart. And I came back, Lord, why did you reveal this to me? But anyway, it was from that point that God laid it in my heart to be a blessing to that village, Tongo. That was when I spoke to some friends, collected some money, and to build a 3-classroom unit for the school.
Hmm.
By the way, they have their teachers, all that the building is there, we turn it over to them, and they would take over from there.
Wow.
But at the hospital also, very poor place. When I came, the Lord laid it in my heart. I didn't know where to start. I contacted one organization by the name of Emmanuel Foundation. That's when they accepted. They loaded a 40-foot container with hospital supplies, school supplies, and we sent it over.
Yeah. And you also do some crusades, like you work with the pastors and you have people come from everywhere in there and to preach the gospel. Tell briefly about that.
That part of it is so exciting. God would just open one door after the other. And God connected me with some local pastors there. And when they got to know what, you know, I was up to, they invited me to proclaim the word. Then they invited, the next year, that was 2014, they invited me again, and this time it was on a large scale. Took me to an open field, and people came from all over the place. They are hungry for the word. People walk miles, and Bruce, again, is a witness, one of them. Was it 2015 or when, or that we went? Anyway, Yes, yes. That is when the same thing happened. People will come from all over an open field, and we have it at night, where it's pitch dark. And, you know, that's where, you know, I get to have crusade and proclaim the word. And lots of deliverance. I had no experience when it comes to deliverance. I don't have the gift, but what I've got to find out, God does not need our ability. All that he needs, our availability.
Yeah.
And God used me there to bring deliverance. I mean, and that place is infested with voodoo, juju. I mean, it's alive and well there. But God used me to bring deliverance, that you can see it with your own eyes, that yes, yeah, that's where demonic activities.
Yeah.
And God used me. And I was excited anyway, Bruce and one friend of mine, he's an evangelist Philip Drummer, also went together, we had the same crusade. And since then, God has opened more doors and more doors.
So you just got back, because you were in December, January, February, you were there.
Yes, Pastor.
And just tell them about the story of your dream and then going up on the mountain. I want you to bring it home with that one.
I just want to let you know, God is still in a miracle-working business. He is the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God who opened the Red Sea that the children, the Israelites, walked through on dry land. He is still working the same miracles today. Anyway, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was on top of the mountain. And on this mountain, God said, I have conquered this village. I have conquered this town. Go out and subdue it. I had this vision, this dream three times. The fourth time, it was almost like, I think maybe in my own fear or lack of faith, God wanted to reveal more. It was more or less like a vision. So I took it. I didn't know what it was about. I put it on the shelf, on the mountain. God is saying, I have conquered this town. Go out and subdue it. I didn't know what it was all about. Anyway, this trip, I went to Ghana. And one Friday, I was fasting and praying. And after, you know, I got through, I called one of the pastors. His name is Pastor John. I think, you know, Bruce Norman. Also, I told him that, you know, I just have this hunger to pray. And he said, okay, I will come and take you. We will go out and pray. So that morning, he came. He got a motorbike. I also got a motorbike. And by the way, they travel, you know, with motorbikes all around. And from there, he took me to a mountain. It took us probably almost close to an hour. And after we had packed the bikes down, we walked all the way up. And as we walked in, we got into a cage. He took me up on top of the mountain and to a cage. And there he said, this is the place that we come to pray. Anyway, he took me in there. But before he got in, I took a picture of him. And we got in there and we prayed throughout, I don't know how many hours. And after we were done, we were about to leave. And I said, okay. Pastor John, I would like to stand on top of this rock. By the way, I don't like heights. I am terrified when it comes to heights. But somehow I found the courage, went on top of the rock. To be honest, my knees were shaking. And if you look at the picture, I think I showed the picture to the pastor. My hands were open, not simply because I was trying to pose, but just to find some courage. But anyway, while standing on top of that rock, to my surprise, after he has taken the picture, I looked down, and the same picture layout that I had of the dream, the same layout I saw when God, and that's when the Holy Spirit ministered to me. I have conquered this town. Go out and subdue it. I started to cry, and Pastor John asked, what is wrong? Something, I said, no. After I was calm, I shared the dream with him, and that opened another prayer time. We went down and we even prayed some more. And he read scriptures that he had no clue that connected what God was doing through that dream. I mean, clear, just a dream, you know, it was when it connected. But just to add it also, in that town, Tongo, I mean, like I'm saying, it is infested with voodoo. And they have the voodoo leaders. They are always five. When one dies, they have to recruit one more. But anyway, two of them, as a matter of fact, I met them, they invited me, and if you walk into their rooms where the ceremony take place, so frightening. But I knew that I was covered by the blood of Jesus, so therefore I had no fear. And after we had talked, two of them, they said, you know, I have been coming all this time. They just want to let me know that this town, anytime you come, you are welcome to go anywhere and preach the word.
Wow.
But just before that, the same day they were having a ceremony, and, you know, again, I was allowed to record. I mean, it's never would they allow you to record them.
Record the voodoo.
Yeah, the voodoo.
Yeah.
But I asked them, can I record it? They said, oh, yes, you're welcome. They have all different kinds of bones, animal bones, or you, I don't even know. All sorts of things. And I recorded everything. But after we had gone through, they said, you are welcome to go anywhere in this town to preach.
Wow.
It was when I was on top there and remembering God saying, I have conquered this town. Go out and subdue it. It is when I knew that. Even the voodoo people, for them to surrender to you, proclaiming the word of God, it is unheard of.
Wow.
But he conquered your enemies and he bring your enemies down.
Yes.
Your feet. And that is where I experienced God also power. That is when I knew that, yes, God have conquered this place, and therefore I have no fear but to go out boldly and proclaim the word of God. So that was the excitement of the dream that really crowns everything. So where I am now, I am hungry, I am thirsty, I mean, I am passionate just to proclaim. I know that my breath now today is to proclaim Christ.
Amen. Yeah, you certainly show it. Can you, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Can you pray for us?
Absolutely, I'll be delighted to.
As they come.
Okay. Shall we pray?
Yep.
Oh, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, we thank you, Lord, we exalt you and we glorify your holy and mighty name. Lord, I pray for each and every person here, and even on the radio line, Zoom or wherever they are. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch them, Lord Father. You will reveal your awesome power, Lord, to each and every person, Lord Father. Lord, even now, Lord Father, they will experience your touch. And Daddy, we thank you, Lord, we exalt you. Thank you for this church, Lord Father, that you are using to make Jesus famous. May you continue to open doors. May you continue to, Lord Father, touch every person here. Touch the pastor. Empower them. Protect them, Lord Father. But Daddy, we give you the glory. We couldn't say all the goodness you have done. But we thank you, Lord. Continue to be with each and every one. Lord, lead them, Lord Father. But we worship you now, that as we leave here, we're not absent in the body, but present in the spirit. And thank you, Daddy. We give all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you.
All right. Can I get you to rise with us here one more time? Based on the time, I probably should only be doing one song. But after those three amazing, amazing testimonies, I think we really have to worship our Lord and standing on the promises.
Shout and sing. I stand. Oh,
Well, I don't know about you, but I got hit with a Holy Spirit snowball today. Man, the Lord is doing some awesome things. It's so encouraging. Thanks for joining us, whether you've been here in person or online. Let's just close in prayer. Oh God, you are so great. It's just so amazing to see what you're doing in individual lives. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take everything that we've heard today and that you would use it to transform us to be more in the image of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for this time together. Go with us as we go home. Bring us back on Thursday and then next week on the crescendo of our faith on Easter Sunday. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.